From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Scott Simon, manning the decks for Michelle, Melissa, and Robert today. All the races are over at the Water Cube in Beijing, but there is one big, really big swim remaining. Later this week, 50 men and women will compete in a brand new Olympic sport, the swimming marathon. It's an open race of more than 6 miles. The swimmers complete it in about 2 hours, and sometimes the marathon is won by just fractions of a second. NPR's Howard Berkus explains.
The Olympic swimming marathon takes place in an artificial lake, but training takes place in a pool. 28-year-old Mark Workington and 16-year-old Chloe Sutton swim laps in their second workout of the day. They're America's first Olympic swimming marathoners, and practice is its own marathon. 10 miles and 5 hours of swimming each day, plus running, biking, or other training on land. John DeSleer is Workington's coach.
There's too many variables going out to find the right open water to train in. It's either too cold, it's too warm, it's too wavy, it's not safe. There's a lot of things living in a lot of bodies of water that you don't want to mess with. Why take those risks? And pools are easy to train in.
Training is the easiest part of the swimming marathon. The race itself is in open water, but the swimmers swim in a pack like cyclists in the Tour de France. They alternate leading and drafting, following a rectangular course with tight turns. They jostle for position, sometimes swimming over and into each other, kicking and jabbing elbows. Deliberate roughness can result in ejection. Even after 6 miles and 2 hours, there are mad dashes to the finish, says swimmer Chloe Sutton.
You know, open water races, sometimes a hundredth of a second does separate first from second. But the only difference is that we've been racing for an hour and 50-something minutes, so it's as intense as pool races. It's just, it doesn't get that intense till the very end.
Sutton compares the finishes to the final heart-stopping millimoments in some of Michael Phelps' races in Beijing last week. Mark Workington credits Phelps for inspiring his exit from the pool and the plunge into open water.
I couldn't beat Michael Phelps. A couple of years ago, I was racing against him, and it just kind of dawned on me, actually, during the race, that there was no chance I was going to beat this guy. And so I said, you know, if you can't beat him, find a race that he won't swim. and that was probably the genesis of realizing that I needed to do something besides pool swimming.
Both Workington and Sutton say strategy is key, sensing when to lead, when to draft, when to break away. They'll swim a bit of backstroke to view the rest of the pack and to ingest water or nutritional gels. They store gel packs in their swimsuits and grab water from aid stations on docks. Workington laments the controlled setting of Olympic competition.
We think of open water as like the English Channel, open, and you think of Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. And it's not like that. It's very tight. It's very compressed. Yeah, you swim a 10K and there's no lane lines, but my goodness, you are breathing each other's air. And I'll probably end up with a black eye, because you'll get kicked in the face or something like that. So it's a crowded elevator, is what it is.
Which might make the sport appealing to Olympic viewers. Being in the Olympics is a very big deal for open water swimmers, who trace the concept back 2,000 years to ancient Japan. Coach DeSleer welcomes the spotlight.
Marathon swimming's been around. It's just nobody knows about it. It's a subculture of a subculture. You know, so it's finally getting its first due in the Olympic Games.
The first Olympic marathon swim is Wednesday when the women race, the men swim Thursday. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Beijing.